This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One man who knows a lot about winning, and he's a guy that has won more games than anybody I know personally in Burgundy and Gold, because he's been through more than anybody in Burgundy and Gold. And it's the leader of the offensive line, and that is Jeff Bostic. Hey, stud, how
What's
are
up,
you?
Doc? We're great.
You know, Essek, you never get closer to a dude when you're lockered next to him. You know what I mean? When you got your locker mate.
Oh, yeah.
A man that, you know, that you flesh to flesh, you know, you bumped into him, you've rubbed against him, you know, you've graced him, you have been way closer than men would like to admit.
Well, and, let me say this, Doc. How out of date would Redskin Park be today?
Dude, it would be, if we did a remake of that, high school kids would laugh.
Yeah.
No, seriously. My boys
college,
over,
college
yeah, over James Madison High School.
High.
And they're undefeated. And they're on a roll over there. And I guarantee you, their locker rooms, they would laugh. But we love them things, man. Remember how we thought, we that was state of the art, but it was 1971 state of the art.
Well, that was home for a long time.
Yeah, with Mosley right across, Dexter. You know, every locker room, as you know, Essek, as an athlete, is a community.
Mm-hmm.
And we used our, as a streets and sides and corners, you know. And our deal, because the payphone, you either buy the Coke machine or you buy the payphone, pluses and minuses. You don't think you want to be by the door. But by the door is by fresh air. Right, Bosco?
And you remember what Mosley had on the door to the top of his locker, right?
Mirrors.
Thank you. There
Mirrors.
You go.
He had more. He had a cosmetic stand. He was way ahead of the mall. Mosley had more cosmetics and things for man, and we would have so much fun with that. And that locker room, and Dave Butts, God rest his soul, when I saw the captain's hats and we were doing the thing out in Golden State, I thought about Buttsy. And the unique part about it is this variance of personalities. You got Theismann at the end of the row, you know, the Brooks Brothers suit deal, and then you got all of, and then the prize bull is right across from us. So we had the best, don't you agree, we had the best row in the entire locker room?
Yeah, we had a very lively and a very spread out set of personalities.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It'd be Dexter was like Linnell on steroids. Yeah, you can't imagine. You can't imagine how much fun it was. This year's team, Bosco, let me go back to the O-line, because I think when I see them, I think of you. I think of Zimmy. I really do think of that eight, that original line with May Dog, and I can't help
Fred
but think,
Dean,
yeah, I
Fred
start
Dean,
with
Mean Stark.
Dean, the first group. These boys are scrappy and violent. I mean, I love these dudes, and I just wonder, when you see them, what do you see?
Well, you know, offensive line's not typically a glory position, but
no.
The Hoggetts kind of made us a single thing in the entire history of the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think any other offensive line has gotten as much press and as much.
No.
You're getting grown men to dress up in hog outfits.
Yeah, no. Offense had a little bit of run, but you're right. I don't know any other group kind of like that ever. Been discussed as a unit? No.
Well, I got one question for you. I mean, obviously, Russ Grimm had a great career. He went to 4 Pro Bowls, won 3 Super Bowl championships, and then he coached for probably 15 more years.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh. Why is Joe Jacoby not in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
he won 3 Super Bowl championships.
Mm-hmm.
He went to 4 or 5 Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did we win with? Mirrors and glass?
Well, how about this? How about he had mortal combat with the greatest linebacker of all time, and the greatest linebacker of all time asked the same question you asked. So if your number one competitor is confused and has voted for you and endorsed you, Larry Michael did a great piece. And one of the few guys smart enough to go and go, well, why don't we ask LT? And
well, here you go. I'm going to give you an LT question. He went to the University of North Carolina.
Yep.
As a freshman, what position did he play?
I don't think I played it. I covered his game as a freshman. He was.
I'll save
linebacker?
You a headache, Doc. He was a nose guard.
Oh, he was no. I did not see him as a freshman. He played. LT was a nose guard.
He was a nose guard as a freshman. Yes.
Wow. Well, you knew he was tough as nails. He didn't mind getting his nails dirty. Not at all.
Well, he found his position when he went to the Giants. They moved him over at North Carolina the next couple of years. I don't know that there will ever be an outside linebacker like him.
No, not play away. I've never seen anybody that – I thought he was better play away. You could not cut him off. I mean, the dude did not want to be cut off. And how lucky was he to land with – Tuna and the goat. So he had, and you know, coaching matters. You know, and you had great offensive line coaches, but you know when you didn't, you know it matters. And so when you look at this matchup upcoming, what do you like about the Commanders?
Well, they're trying to make their own era. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they don't have the ability to keep guys around. We didn't have free agency.
Right.
And you could really, and let me say this, people don't realize what a great general manager Bobby Bethard was. He had an uncanny.
Well, he's a gold jacket.
Eye for talent.
Yeah.
I mean, he was amazing.
Yep. Yeah,
so
that's how he got that gold jacket.
We had battles against those Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm concerned. I don't pay any attention to their record, and I know how big a win it would be for them. It would get all that heat off their coaches and owner, and it would satisfy their fan base thirst. And it cannot happen. What is the key to victory for the Commanders?
I think there are typically 2 or 3 things that always tell you who's going to win the game. Time of possession,
mm-hmm.
Sacks allowed, sacks that you have gotten. Can you pressure the other quarterback and protect your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple analogy to how do we get to a victory. I mean, we used to own the time of possession clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you stated that in terms of not just turnovers. Sacks are, they're personal. When you see your quarterback on the ground, to me that has a bigger impact than the interception. It has a bigger impact than even forcing a fumble. It's something about the visual that we got to your quarterback and laid hands on him. And I
I'm going to tell you something. When Lawrence Taylor broke Joe Theismann's ankle, both sides of the ball were in shock.
Yeah.
It was an ugly injury.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder, it doesn't escape it. You just don't forget about that. It's in any and every injury. When Joe got hit, we were in Frisco, and they ran a game on the outside, I know, with me and Jake, and you look, you know, there's nothing that hurts you more than when you see your guy gets hit and he loses a tooth. They lose things. And you look, hey, man, it happens. But you could also be in a game and you could have your center tell the nose tackle that you're coming to hit him and then have the nose tackle slant towards you and your neck never adjusts to being normal again the rest of your life. That could happen too.
People don't realize the size, the speed, and the violence of the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and I want to confirm this, and then we'll let you get back to pickleball. But when I tell people the story, which I go of all the things that happened, and everybody had different career, different side, different teams. But the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced as a professional athlete is seeing the changing of the guard. That guy that wore the hat and the expensive suits in Dallas, who was an iconic figure. And to see this dude, the no Danny no, and his emotional decline. And that guy Randy White, that played defensive tackle for them, who has a nickname Manster for a reason. Boy was bad. Well, nobody single blocking this boy until that young lad out of Pittsburgh put an end to that. And I'm telling you something now, and Jeff will atone to this. When Joe Gibbs, remember all the guys we had signals, people, Don Brodus signaling, all them little signal things he used to do before technology, calling that play, and it would come in and 50 gut. And Theismann didn't buck it. You know he could have bucked it. He could have high-sided. He could have used his clout. He didn't buck it. Gibbs called the play?
I think he knew what would happen if he did not call the play Coach Gibbs called.
He did?
Joe had a very calm demeanor, but when he got angry, he really got angry.
He got angry. And Joe did it. That, to me, is one of those stories. Of all the stories you have, that, to me, is number one. To have been in that huddle when he calls that play split right tight, gets out 70 chip, and a voice said, "Hey, Joe, 50 gut." And Theismann said, "Split right tight, zoom, 50 gut, on sound."
Yeah.
Boom. Again, seven times, right?
We ran it and told him the last three or four.
Yeah, three, just straight seven. He called the plays in. No timeout was called. That's the thing I love about Joe. Gibbs didn't panic.
Well, you know, it's kind of Bugle. It's Joe Bugle's problem because we were in that meeting on Friday, and he says, "We need to play this game with athletic arrogance."
Yeah, that's when athletic arrogance came out. Yeah, that was it. That was good. Hey, brother, you are, as you know, you're priceless. And you've got a copyright on it, so until you sell it, we got to keep coming back to you every time we need a nugget. And none but love for you. Appreciate you. Will you be in town for this one?
No. We're in Gainesville, Georgia. Now.
Okay.
We've been here for probably 10 or 12 years, Doc. But we'll get back up there again soon.
All right. Well, enjoy it. And, hey, man, look like the old Clemson is not dead yet. So Tiger's still showing some life. I know that makes you feel good.
Yep. I love my Tigers.
And you should, man. Your coach is he's hanging in there, and I appreciate that. Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Boston.
Take care, Doc.
As Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. Folks, you can't make this stuff up.